Yeah.
Good. Here we are in Manchester Art Gallery with the world-renowned Anish Kapoor. I'm Jonathan Schofield. I'm the editor of Manchester Confidential, and this is an audio boo for Creative Tourist. So, can I call you Anish?
Absolutely, please. I wouldn't have any other way.
Just briefly, describe what's going on out there in the gallery. It's all you, isn't it? Your whole past.
I think there are 10 works. Is it 10 works? Maybe it is. 10 works over the last, must be almost 30 years, which is, I think it is 30 years. It's a rather frightening thought, that. But anyway, so there are pigment pieces from the early...
So it's a journey,
80s.
Isn't it, though? It shows the journey of your work.
Yeah.
And are you pleased how fresh that early work still looks?
You know, I am, actually. I've shown them a few times over the last while, and they're works I always went back to over the last so many years. And I know why. It's because one wants to remain inventive, and perhaps in one's youth, you know, there's a certain kind of immediacy to inventiveness, which it's the only way to be an artist, to keep that going somehow.
But the interesting thing, I think, about your work over the period of time we're talking about, which, as you say, is decades now. I hate to rub that in, but much work, if you looked back at it from the 80s, you could probably put it in the 80s. You could say, yep, that's definitely from the fashions of the time or from the influences of the time. Yours seem to transcend beyond that. You've built yourself a little timelessness within it.
Oh, good.
I mean... Are you aware of that, or are was that something that just seems to have arrived? You've arrived at.
Yeah, how come on? I don't know how to answer that, because you can't do it, but without sort of self-congratulatory tones. So I'll avoid those. But I think there are certain things that really do interest me and continue to interest me. One is the immediacy of material. That pigment materials that are difficult to control. Have a kind of nowness about them that gives them a very particular... So they've got to be somehow... I mean, of course, you can do it in a staid way, but I think I'm aware that there's something there in that sort of hand-no-hand question with something like pigment. And then, I hope the forms are playful.
Yeah.
And of course they're very sexual too. So which kind of perhaps relates them to the body in some way. I think that's important too.
I find the untitled piece very interesting around the corner, which does place you around this very sexual opening, one would say. But also, let's just pull back from those seconds. There's a couple of your sentences which but I know, I'm quoting you back. It's
come
unfair,
on, do
but
it.
There's a fabulous one, which is an artist has to insert ambiguity in our over-certain world. I love that about the works. God. Maybe explain that sentence a little bit.
Well, we live in a world where objects are mostly defined by their use, where everything from politics to most of the things that we come across, work with, our lives are defined. Art and poetry, perhaps, maybe the theatre, one of the few areas in which we allow a thing to be uncertain, to say it could mean that, it could mean that, it could be like this, and this could be condition, is something that I think we all long for. We want could-be conditions. We don't want the world explained. It becomes too obvious.
And there's the magic, maybe, that lies within the pieces there. Because there is the ambiguity. And yet there is the tactile... Well, not tactile. You don't want people going pushing them over. But there's the physical joy as well within them.
And I think, ambiguity is on the edge of poetry. They live with each other.
And I'd like the other sentence I'm going to quote back to you before we finish. Involves poetry, because it's interesting, I find it interesting that you keep referring to poetry, but you said the poetry of the piece is that much isn't revealed. So again, you've got that. In fact, the person viewing then can imbue your works with whatever they wish.
So I think this is one of the, I've often said as an artist, that I, as an artist, have nothing to say. I kind of mean it. I really don't want to have anything to say. I don't have something to tell you. I don't know more about the world than you do or somebody else does. But what abstract art perhaps affords, or quasi-abstract art affords, is a space between the viewer and the object, there is a space of exploration. And it is, it can be, it, the object may be ambiguous, but we don't allow ambiguity. Our psychic nature is such that we don't, you know, we fill it immediately. We bring content. And that's one of the things that I'm interested in, is the way the viewer brings content.
And the last thing is, I think, they're beautiful as well, aren't they? I mean, there's a conscious, I find it, I just find the words beautiful, and it's probably an underused word often in criticism. People are afraid to use it, maybe. Are you all, did you look for the beauty, or is the beauty inherent with the idea that it came from?
Oh, beauty is always a hard one. You know, you can't set out to make something beautiful. But what you can do, I think, is to say, I've done enough.
Mm.
Get out of the way, you old fellow. You know, get out of the way and let it be what it is. So, you know, also I'm drawn to exotic materials. And sometimes exotic materials do have this quality that's somewhat radiant.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very, very much for your time. And I hope the show goes well. And more importantly, I hope you've got the drinks ready for tonight.
No, indeed. I hope so too. Thank you.